With the 33rd pick in the 2022 NBA draft, the Toronto Raptors select Christian Koloko from Douala, Cameroon and the University of Arizona.
If you're a Toronto Raptors fan last night watching the draft, you had to wait all the way to pick number 33 for the team's first selection, and it was not necessarily a surprise. I mean, you're talking about the second round of the draft, so you don't know who's going to be there or who's going to be off the board, but University of Arizona big man Christian Koloko was the pick, and we've got the architect of the Toronto Raptors on the program now. It's the general manager, and it's Bobby Webster back on First Up. Hey, Bobby, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
It's always our pleasure to have you on, Bobby.
We should actually thank you for coming on. I mean, it was you and your team that initiated this whole interview, so we're very thankful for that.
Yeah, of course, of course. We're friends with Bobby. Bobby remembers our interaction before Game 5 of the 2019 NBA Finals. Remember, Bobby, our fist pump on the sidelines, and I think a lot of people credit your success to our interaction that night. I'm sure you agree.
Yeah, that was a huge part of it. I'm not sure we would have won without the fist bump.
Nice.
So, I did hear, you know, Kawhi
the rings in the mail, right? The rings in the mail.
That's right. We have the replica one still. We have the replica one. So let's talk about your selection last night, Christian Koloko. And you heard the University of Arizona, but you also heard Douala, Cameroon, which is where Pascal Siakam is from, which I think is an interesting wrinkle to the selection. How impactful was Pascal's association and familiarity with Koloko in making this decision, Bobby?
Yeah, it's a great story. Actually, I ran into Pascal on Wednesday here. I just asked him. I knew Christian was a kid we were looking at. And, you know, he said he knows him. I don't know if they're friends. I think probably more acquaintances. But no, it's more credit to the kid. I think he's coming off Defensive Player of the Year in the Pac-12, obviously a top basketball conference. And so just his growth as a player, you know, not unlike Pascal, but I'm sure in many ways very different. But just a really steep ascent for the kid as, you know, I think he probably went from a barely used player as a freshman, you know, to one of the cogs on one of the top teams in all of college basketball.
Bobby, were you surprised that he was there at 33? Because according to some of your comments last night, your draft board had Koloko somewhere in the top 20 or 25 overall in the draft.
We're a little surprised, but I think, you know, historically, I think I said we've been in that range, that late 20, early 30s, and we know that, you know, not all draft boards are the same. So if we could get to, you know, 25 was probably a stretch, but right around there, if we could get to players we liked, historically, we knew those guys would be around in the 30s. So we kind of based a little bit on chance and luck from prior years. And I won't say if we had many other left in that group, but he was there, and we were comfortable with him from the start.
We're in conversation with Toronto Raptors general manager Bobby Webster here on First Up. And whenever it's draft night and if you're a supporter of the Toronto Raptors, it's especially intriguing because of all the remarkable success you guys have had, whether it's in the first round of the draft recently, the second round, undrafted guys. I think of Fred VanVleet, who comes to mind very quickly. Because of all the success and the great scouting department, amateur scouting department that you guys have, is there kind of more of an impetus for you guys to maybe stockpile a couple more picks? I know you, of course, moved down in the draft with a trade, moving down to 33 with your first-round pick, supposed to be number 20. But just considering all the success you guys had, is there kind of maybe a little bit more pressure to make sure you're picking each and every year?
Yeah, it's a good one. You know, we definitely put pressure on ourselves, but I think over the years we've, you know, made some fun out of it too. You know, I mean, this enables obviously our staff to travel over the world early in the year. So that's, you know, obviously interesting and you know, an exciting job to have. But then, you know, when we really buckle down and start to invite guys up to Toronto, we go to Chicago for the draft combine. I think, you know, the process of it we've really embraced over the years. And I think having some success, you know, obviously gives people motivation. But I think for us, it's just being able to see some of the stories you all have seen and we've all watched, whether it's Fred or OG or Pascal or even a Chris Boucher, to just have watched these kids scout them, bring them into our family, develop them, grow. Doesn't mean that we don't have some, you know, some not so great stories as well, but I think those success stories that we get to live with every day really, really motivate us.
Bobby, take us through what a night like last night looks like, you know, inside the war room for you guys. You know, you pick at 33, But are you guys actively, like, paying attention to what's going on around the league with some of the trades, some of the conversations that are being had, some of the rumors about player movement? Like, was there any discussion about potentially moving up into the draft, or were you guys just comfortable with whatever, you know, whatever position you guys were in?
I think all of those, you know, this season, or at least this year's draft, were done earlier in the week. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I felt like we just had done more of our pre-work and there's more serious discussions then. I think I said last night, like for the first hour of the draft, you know, my phone didn't ring, Masai's phone didn't ring, the office phone didn't ring. So we're all there sitting looking at each other, like what's going on. But I really think most teams and ourselves, we'd had those conversations early. But yeah, you know, you don't do all that work, and our scouts have been following these kids for 3-4 years. So, you know, surprise picks early in the draft, obviously number one, I think was going to go a different way and ends up with Paolo. So I think that part of it from a fan perspective and from a scouting perspective is fun to follow. And then, yeah, you know, we have 33, so we're not the coolest kid in class like last year with four. So nobody's banging down your door. I think maybe teams start texting me or calling me around 25, 26. What are you guys going to do at 33? But that's just, you know, the nature of this year's pick.
Well, Bobby, tell us the difference between the two. Last year, you guys hit a home run with Scotty Barnes picking in the lottery, and this year, we don't know what your pick's going to be with Coloco yet, but you pick 33. Which one is harder as a GM and as a scouting guy? Is it harder picking in the lottery with the guy that you're going to pick, or is it harder picking at 33 with the guy that you're going to pick?
I think it's got to be at four. You know, the microscope, you know, the magnifying glasses is on the organization, is on, you know, that decision, you know, very publicly. I think behind the scenes, obviously, we put a lot of pressure on ourselves. So I'd say four. I'd say 33, there's a bit more of, let's hope one of our guys is still there, whereas at four, you're kind of attacking the pick and making sure that who you're selecting is who you want, and you're not, you know, necessarily taking who's there. So, yeah, I would say four.
We're in conversation with Toronto Raptors GM Bobby Webster here on First Up. And with the draft now in the rear view, I'm sure you guys are looking ahead to free agency next week. You've got a couple of free agents that I have heard you say you'd like to retain, Chris Boucher and Thaddeus Young. What's the latest on their statuses with regards to their futures in Toronto, Bobby?
Yeah, same. You know, can't say much until I think July 1, but would love to have them back. I think the feeling's mutual, so hopefully we can, you know, continue those conversations at the appropriate time. And then we have a mid-level exception, which is about $10-11 million that we're able to go out and spend. So I think, you know, looking to add to the current group, obviously getting a kid like Christian, we feel like is adding, and then being able to add one or two guys in free agency, I think, you know, builds off the core from last year and the success we saw in the second half of the year. You know, we were just talking to a couple of our players this week when they're in Toronto, and I think they all felt like, you know, they didn't necessarily know exactly how to play with each other early on in the year. There's a lot of new faces, a lot of young players. So can they kind of come together quickly over the course of the summer? I think people have seen we've had Pascal up here, OG, Gary, Scotty. So there's been a lot of investment, I think, in each other and in the team as they look forward to next season.
Bobby, the team made great strides last year, probably accelerating the rebuild maybe you guys want to call it a retool in this organization. And it really presents a big offseason for you guys. And you guys have had a great track record so far of making some very impactful trades to this team. Where can you guys see yourself being more aggressive, in the free agent market or in the trade market in the offseason?
You know, the nature of it is the trades, and to your point, we've always, you know, kind of kept all our options open as we look at the summer. Free agency, we're a little bit limited, just bringing our own guys back and having that $10 million exception. But as people start to saw last night, you know, some teams are already starting to look towards free agency with some of their moves and setting up cap space and setting up, you know, the chase of a certain free agent. So we'll keep tabs on that. We do have a week here, starts on July 1st. But the trade market's always one that can kind of, you know, significantly alter, you know, your plans.
Bobby, thank you for doing this. It's great to have you back on the show, and we'll let you get back to work. You guys have a lot of stuff cooking, I'm sure, heading into July 1. So, again, thanks for this, and enjoy the weekend.
Same to you. Look forward to seeing you guys in person.
Can't wait, buddy. We'll be giving fist bumps.
Oh, you know it. We'll be the catalyst
with,
for that.
With our replica rings and his real ring.
That's right. That's right. That's Bobby Webster.
See you, Bobby.
That's Bobby Webster, the GM of the Toronto Raptors.